out to God. Lord, help us today as we've gathered here, not just merely for obligation, not merely as a discipline, but to honor and glorify you. If we haven't done, if that hasn't been our motivation, Lord, even now, work in us, O Lord. Let us, God, seek to honor and glorify you and to offer you first fruits, to know, Lord God, that through you every good thing comes. You give us life, you give us food and drink, clothing, housing, give us sound minds, you give us just every good and perfect gift comes from you. Even this word today is part of that package. Let us receive it with meekness. Let us glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're talking about wisdom today. This is an email that was received a while back. Never lie to your mother. You don't even have to be a mother to enjoy this one. Brian invited his mother over for dinner. During the course of the meal, Brian's mother couldn't help but notice how beautiful Brian's roommate Stephanie was. She had long been suspicious of the relationship between Brian and Stephanie, and this had only made her more curious. Over the course of the evening, while watching the two react, his mom started to wonder if there was more between Brian and Stephanie than met the eye. Then, reading his mom's thoughts, Brian volunteered, "I know what you must be thinking, but I assure you, Stephanie and I are just roommates." About a week later, Stephanie came to Brian, saying, "Ever since your mom came to dinner, I've been unable to find the beautiful silver gravy ladle. You don't suppose she took it, do you?" Brian said, "Well, I doubt it, but I'll send her an email just to be sure." So he sat down and wrote, "Dear Mother, I'm not saying that you did take the gravy ladle from the house. I'm not saying that you did not take the gravy ladle. But the fact remains that one has been missing ever since you were here for dinner. Love, Brian." Several days later, Brian received a letter from his mother that read, "Dear son, I'm not saying that you do sleep with Stephanie, and I'm not saying that you do not sleep with Stephanie, but the fact remains that if she was sleeping in her own bed, she would have found the gravy ladle by now. Love, Mom." Now, the person that received this and then forwarded it, she said, "This was a smart woman. Wish I could have been." And obviously, the recipient of this, the mom, wished she could go back, perhaps, and perhaps have had more wisdom in life. And I mean, really, this is the kind of message you want to specify towards mothers, but also there's definitely a general truth in that we all need the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is one of the ultimate treasures to be had, one of the most important commodities to possess. And, I mean, the need for godly wisdom has always been urgent, but today, in today's world, the need for godly wisdom is like off the charts. And good news, if you're a Christian, God is wanting to offer that wisdom liberally. God has a repository of wisdom and truth by his Spirit to give out. And so it's not really a lack with God, but it's more of our interest. Are we interested in the wisdom of God? Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 1, and this is a common refrain in the first 10 chapters of Proverbs, "Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice?" In the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, you have this personification of wisdom. I like to call her Lady Wisdom. And, of course, ultimately, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. It's God himself and what he has to offer. But in Proverbs, she's personified as a woman. She is the wisdom of God. And the wisdom of God is a necessity to discern and to act, especially in a crazed world, in a world where there's a lot of perversion and a lot of twisting and things are getting a little bit strange, to say the least. And also, in regards to the age that the book of Revelation talks about, Revelation chapter 11. In Revelation chapter 11, talks about the devil coming down with great wrath, with great fury, because he knows his time is short. He knows that the end is approaching. And so he intensifies his attacks. He tightens his grip on a world that he already is the prince of. And I believe that we very well might be in those times that the Bible talks about, the devil coming down with great wrath and the world, particularly from a Christian point of view, being a war zone, being a place that is volatile, a place where you got to keep your wits about you, where you can succeed. We will be overcomers through Christ, but we need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now let's consider this wartime wisdom. In the Old Testament, there's a wonderful picture that is applicable to us, and it also highlights a woman, so it's good for Mother's Day. 2 Samuel chapter 20, verses 15 through 22. And all the men who were with Joab came and besieged him, that's a rebel, in Abel of Beth-Maacah. They cast up a mound against the city and stood against the rampart, and they were battering the wall to throw it down. In some respects, it's an apt picture of the world in which we live, a world where it seems like we're being besieged by a overwhelming force. And the people in this city are in big trouble. Their destruction is imminent. They are overwhelmed, they're outmatched, and they're about to be overcome. Now, thankfully, there's wisdom to be found. Thankfully, somebody has taken the time. Somebody has been faithful and has accumulated wisdom so that she can speak to the darkness, so that she can give a wise response that will diffuse a volatile situation. And in the midst of this war zone, verse 16, then a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab, come here, that I may speak to you." And he came near her. And the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your servant." He answered, "I'm listening." Verse 18. Then she said, "They used to say in former times, let them but ask counsel in Abel." Now that's the city, Abel of Beth-Maacah. Well, in old times, it's kind of interesting as a little side note. We're thinking about the old days here, and she's talking about old days from her perspective. That'd be double old. But they used to say, let's come and ask counsel at Abel. So they settled a matter. Now, this Abel seems to have been a place where wise people congregated, perhaps a place where difficulties could be mediated. And if you had trouble in Israel, well, let's go over to Abel, and they'll be able to sort these things out. It's good to have people like that in your life, isn't it? That you can go to, a resource when you're not seeing things clearly. Well, she's now conversing with Joab. She's answering with a soft word, by the way. You know how a soft answer turns away wrath? She's not railing against him. She's not throwing stones down, but she's counseling, if you will. In verse 19, she says, "I am one of those who are peaceful and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel, a city that had mother-like influence, a city that was a place of covering and counsel, much like a good mother is, by the way. This city, Abel, well, you seek to swallow it up." Look at verse 19. "Why will you swallow up the heritage of the Lord?" Verse 20, "Joab answered, far be it from me, far be it that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not true. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim called Sheba, the son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give up him alone, and I will withdraw from the city. And the woman said to Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to you over the wall. Now, not the happiest Mother's Day imagery, but let's take the more metaphorical picture here. Here is a woman that sees now that there is an internal threat. Certainly there was an external threat, and by wisdom, she's speaking to that situation. But now it's a little bit closer to home. There's something within the city, someone that is toxic, someone that's poisonous, someone that could cause the whole city to be destroyed. And in her wisdom, look at verse 22. Then the woman went to all the people in her wisdom, and she basically said, look, it's either this guy or all of us. And what does it say here? They cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the trumpet. They dispersed from the city, every man to his home, and Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Now, perfect picture here of a wise woman, a woman that obviously has experience, a woman, as she said about herself, and she wasn't just bragging, but she said, I'm faithful, and I'm a peaceable person. These type of people aren't developed overnight. These type of people aren't just born into the world. This is the woman that has taken time to be wise and to hear from God and to grow in faithfulness and to be a person that is peaceful. And she's a woman when the threat comes, when the intense time comes. Her wisdom is applied. You see, it's one thing to have wisdom in peacetime. That not necessarily apply, but when it's wartime, when it's a difficult time, when it's a time of peril, like can be happening in the world, as is happening in the world, or in your own home, when it's a time where it seems like it's a war zone, where you're having difficulty with your husband or wife, or a difficult time at school, maybe in a friendship, or even when it's a war time within your own heart. That's when the benefit of wisdom really comes forward. It's when that experience, and obviously this woman had the character. She had done the disciplines. She had done the due diligence. She had studied to show herself approved. She made every effort to grow and to be faithful and to be a peaceable person. And when the crushing time came, when the difficulty came, and friends, I believe that the perilous times discussed in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in the last days, perilous times would come. They are upon us. And this is where those who are wise and those who are foolish will be sorted out. And those who are wise will be able to speak to the situation. They'll be able to discern and know what's going on. They'll be able to act accordingly, and they'll save themselves. They'll save their families. They'll save those within their sphere of influence from destruction. But the foolish will be found out, and the foolish won't be able to detect that how to speak and to detect that there's a monster among us, something that needs a beheading, something that needs to be cast out. Now consider this man that she said will throw his head over the wall. It's not, again, not pleasant to consider, but there are things in our lives. There are things in our midst. There are things in our own hearts, in our homes, things that at times need beheadings, things that are threatening. And if we're not wise, we won't understand what God wants us to get rid of. Things that can harm us and harm our families. You know, it could be as simple as in your own household that cable television is a Bichri-like influence. And it's harming your family, slowly but surely, giving hours to that influence and allowing the propaganda of the world and the philosophies of this world to infiltrate you and to infiltrate your children. And if you have not taken the time to gain wisdom like this woman did, then you don't come to understand that there are some things in life, some influences that need beheadings, that need to be thrown over the wall to satisfy King David, who's a type of Jesus Christ. And so consider, are you growing in wisdom? Are you receiving that wisdom that comes from above? Or are you merely a worldly person? Are you a carnal Christian? Are you somebody that knows about Jesus and has some degree of a theological grasp, but you're really not accumulating wisdom? You're not growing so you can discern the subtleties of this world, the subtleties of the devil, and the subtleties of our own natural hearts. This woman, thankfully, represented a mother, represented a savior, if you will. And because of her discipline and because of her experience, she was able to deliver a whole city. This is what God wants for us. Wisdom's calling out to God's people. She calls out. She raises her voice. She says, "Come unto me, all you who are simple. Come unto me, you who are ignorant, and I will give you a feast. I will bless you." And when we attain silver, when we attain wisdom, she's worth more than silver. She's more than gold. She's the most precious commodity a Christian can have. Now this unnamed heroine is definitely of the quality of the Proverbs 31 woman. How many of you know that Proverbs 31 is probably a text that is being read all over as far in church services today, at least in America? It's one of the most popular Mother's Day sections. Well, let's consider some aspects as we continue on of this wise woman from Proverbs chapter 31. Look at Proverbs 31, 26 through 29. Four things about the wise woman, and no doubt this unnamed heroine of Abel, Beth Maka, had these qualities about her. First of all, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. One great mark of a wise woman is that her mouth is a blessing, not a curse. She edifies. And she has learned that in the multitude of words, sin is not far off. She has learned to let her words be few. And when she speaks, there's kindness. Grace rolls off her tongue. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and the teaching of kindness. She's able to instruct. She has received wisdom herself. And she's also able to give it to others. The opposite of this is a foolish woman or a foolish person in general. A foolish person is loud. They're multitudinous in their words. And they don't care who they hurt with their words. They don't care that if they gossip, lie, rage against somebody. They're foolish. But the wise woman, she's very careful. She opens her mouth. Wisdom pours forth. Kindness comes. A blessing. A refreshing. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:29 that let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but only that which edifies or builds up other people. So first mark of this wise woman, she's a beneficial communicator. Second mark, verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She is very interested in bringing progress to her family. She adds value. She's there to be a blessing, not just to be blessed. And so she's looking. Look at verse 27. How can I help people in my household? How can I disciple those children? How can I be a blessing to my senior parents? She's looking well, and she's not a lazy person. You know, laziness is an abomination like any other. And God is totally against somebody that's just looking to take it easy and just looking to be blessed themselves. So this wise woman will not eat that bread of idleness. Now, I'm not just talking about some busy beaver that's always, you know, having to be energetic just to be energetic. There's definitely a time for rest and Sabbath. But her way is, I'm going to be progressing and transforming and growing and helping others. And I'm not just going to lounge around and expect everybody else to take care of me. She's not consumer-oriented like our society is. She's producer-oriented. Not how can I be blessed, but how can I be a blessing? Great mark of this wise woman. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Now, another mark of this wise woman is that she is praiseworthy. Now, I'm about to say something that's not going to be the most comfortable thing to hear, but it can be a blessing if you will receive it and respond accordingly. This woman that has learned to control her mouth, she's learned to be gracious and kind. Now, no doubt she's had to wrestle at times, and she's gone through the hard disciplines to rein in that tongue. And this woman also that is seeking to produce, not just consume. She's looking to better others and to bless others. Verse 28, it comes back her way. She is now worthy of praise. And here's the hard thing. Though all mothers deserve honor, honor your father and mother. Not all mothers are praiseworthy. Just because you're a mother, that does not mean you're automatically worthy of praise. That's something that has to be earned. Now, that can be said about many different categories. You can say, well, just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're praiseworthy. Indeed. Touche. That, of course, that's the case. But I'm dealing with moms right now. So, verse 28. Her children, eventually those kids. Now, of course, kids are not engaging and understanding the value of their mother at a very young age. They just see their mother as an extension of themselves and as kind of like a butler, someone that's a conduit for me and all my needs and wants. But as they grow up, when they start to understand the value, then they rise up and call her blessed. Now, so I don't want you to be discouraged. You got young kids or kids that hasn't clicked yet. They haven't praised you yet. If you've been the wise woman, and if you've been a blessing, then that praise will come your way. It may be belated, but it will come. And also, look at this, her husband also praises her. Now, I know there's a lot of hypersensitivity in our culture. And well, how come my husband, he read that. My husband has never praised me. Well, again, I will make a distinction. You deserve honor. You deserve to be valued, but perhaps you're not worthy of praise. Perhaps you haven't put in the time and you haven't developed these qualities. Now, that's not to leave you discouraged, that the message is going forth today to help you. You can come to a point. You can make changes. You can begin to rein in the mouth and begin to be producer-oriented versus consumer-oriented. You can begin to ask God, Lord, help me. I desire to have my husband's praise and to, for my children someday. That the one of the most important things in my life is that my children will rise up someday and say that I was a blessing, and they'll sing my praises. That's not a bad desire. Now, verse 29, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Fourth quality, this high quality wise woman is a rarity. She is a rare specimen. There is the average, and then there are those that excel. She, this woman with all these qualities, and I just named a few of them. You can read the larger context later. There's more than just this. Many women do excellently, but you, oh wise woman, you like that woman, that wise woman in the prior passage, who delivered a whole city because she had godly sense. She had discernment. She wasn't caught up in the confusion. She wasn't caught up in just, well, I'm angry at them, and we're going to get them back, and we're going to be stubborn here, and we'll hold out. She wasn't into all that. She had enough wisdom to know that we're totally outmatched. It's going to take reasoning, and it's going to take the words of God to go forth, to diffuse the situation. This is that rare person that by God's Spirit, you, all you ladies, all you moms can be, and then all of us can have that wisdom that descends from above. Key point today is pretty convenient because it's actually a scripture. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. That's what God's telling us today. Get it. It's available. It is essential. I would say laying a hold of wisdom is perhaps one of the five most important activities of Christianity. Loving others ranks up there, no doubt about it. Keeping a lively hope, that would be in the top five. Certainly procuring wisdom. Being diligent to seek God. Being diligent to get these words in your heart. Being diligent to be in environments like this, where you can receive the words of life in the family group setting. This diligence to procure godly wisdom is essential. Three things and we're done. Number one, to be wise, I must, first of all, fear God. Now, as I was sharing this message, you might have been thinking that, yeah, the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. Good job. You anticipated this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How do I proceed? You have this desire in your heart. Okay, I hear what that man's saying, and I'm receiving from the scriptures. I'm receiving it as God's truth. I want to be wise. I don't want to be a fool. I want to be a person that could deliver my family from evil. I want to be a person that could be a blessing. First and foremost, godly fear. You must fear the Lord. Solomon ended Ecclesiastes, fear God and obey his commandments. Now this fear, as I said earlier in the service, is not the tormenting fear that you never quite feel right about yourself and God. That's reserved for the unsaved. For the saved, that tormenting fear is abolished, though it may poke at you. This fear, though, has to do with a sensitivity. How does God feel about what I'm thinking, what I'm saying, what I'm doing? This fear is a high regard. It's a soberness. It's an awareness that I don't just operate on my own, and my life is not my own. I'm not just to go by my own decisions, my own wits, my own feelings. This fear is a high attentiveness to God and what he thinks. This godly fear, now there's a correlation, obviously, of fear and wisdom. The more you fear God, the more wise you will be. The less you fear God, the more of a fool you're going to be. Could we just accept that? I mean, that's pretty easy, wouldn't you say? That as you grow in fear of God, then you're going to start thinking, well, how does God feel about this? Should I really do this thing? But if you're not fearing God, you're bold and brazen, and I just do whatever I feel, folly is going to accompany that. Now here's some examples, and we're going to put these on the screen to help. The more I fear God, the less likely I'll, number one, treat people with contempt. We're going to give you seven examples. The more I fear God, the less likely I am to treat people with contempt. How does God feel about that person? You know how I feel about that person? They're a waste of my time. They get on my nerves. I don't care if I ever see them again, or I just look down on them for whatever old reason. But wait a minute now. Fear of God. God values every person. Every person's made in God's image. And if they're a member of the church, they're part of his bride. Whoa. The more I fear God, the less likely I will treat people with such contempt. Here's another example. The more I fear God, the less likely I am to be an idolater. Well, idolatry. That's when people back then made statues. Yeah, okay, I'm clear. Hold on a second. Idolatry is anything you put between you and God. Anything. And you know, our nature is to worship creation more than the Creator. John Calvin said the human heart is an idol factory. While this service has been going on, there's been idol interference, idolatry interference with some of us today, thinking about that thing, thinking about a job, thinking about an activity, thinking about a car. It's been interfering. You don't think we have problems with idolatry? Good news, the more I fear God, then I can bring those desires into their proper place. Not all those desires are bad, but when they interfere with you and God, they become idolatry. Are you following me on that, by the way? Next, the more I fear God, the less likely I am to let anger rule me. Person that rages, whether it's those quick rages or whether it's the volcanic type, that person does not necessarily understand that as they sow, they'll reap. And if they like hammering people with anger, if they just let their rage ability go forward, it will come back their way. Bible says, be slow to anger, for the anger or the justice of man does not bring about God's justice. And so the more I fear God, the less likely I'll let that anger rule me. Next, oh yeah, rush into things. The more I fear God, the less likely I rush into things. Do you know how much of our society and the issues of our society have to do with rushing into things? Just one example, premarital sex. Not fearing God, but hey, I feel like it, and I'm going to do it. Do you know how many consequences, how much collateral damage has occurred in our society just on that one little thing? And not little in a qualitative sense, but in the big picture. When you fear God, then you start to think, well, what would God want me to buy this thing? I know that they're trying to get me to rush and to sign it because the deal ends today. But when you fear the Lord, the less likely you are to rush into that thing, which is going to cause a lot of trouble in your life. Fifth, the more I fear God, the less likely I am to open my mouth every time I feel my thoughts need expression. Need I say more? Next, see, I'm going to follow it. The more I fear God, the less likely I am to allow my liberty to overrule sensitivity to others. What is he talking about? Things that I feel okay with, but actually can offend other people. You know, since we're dealing with ladies today, like ladies in their dress attire. Well, they shouldn't have a problem. Those men, that's their problem if they look at me that way. I can dress any way I want. That's not the Christian way. The Christian way is, how would this affect other people? It might be okay for me, but I also need to factor in, I fear God. I factor in the God part of the equation. God, could this stumble somebody else? And then I rein in that liberty instead of letting it overrule sensitivity to other people. Sixth example, or number seven, yeah, be lazy. The more I fear God, the less likely I am to be a lazy person. God is into a diligent, progressive, growing person that knows how to take it easy, understands there's a rhythm to life. Secondly, in fear, I want to have godly wisdom. Okay, fear God first. What's second? Secondly, in the back of your notes, hear the word, which is what you're doing right now. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. The wise understand at least one thing, that they are ignorant. I know that sounds contradictory. The wise understand that there's a whole lot more to learn, that there's more of God to get. And so they're into accumulating. They're not going to be skipping out on the times when it's time to receive. God sets the table. He says, here it is. Here it is in your prayer time. Here it is on Wednesday nights if you're able. Here it is. I'm not trying to bring a legalistic thing here. But when the offerings are made available, the wise person is going to be listening. They're going to be heaping up for themselves while they can. Finally, number three, I want to be wise. Number one, fear God. Number two, hear the word. Thirdly, walk with wise people. You will become, and I will become, a composite or an average of our three to five closest influences, be they people, be they media sources, whatever those three to five most intense connections that we have in the world. If they tend towards folly or frivolity, then we will tend towards folly or frivolity. If you go about with an angry person, the Bible says, you'll become an angry person. It's a similar principle. So Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, if you like harm, just hang out with fools. But if you want to actually grow and succeed, and you're like me, maybe you have an aversion to pain, and you'd rather bypass unnecessary trials. There's enough necessary ones that God will give us, but unnecessary things, then hang out with wise people. Let there be people in your life that are at the very least sharpening you, provoking you to love and good works. Not people which just join in and accept anything you do. The Bible says that faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There's a lot of kissy face socializing that goes on without a literal kiss. That is, I'm okay, you're okay, we're just here to play, no harm will come. And then eventually life goes by, and you're spiritually weak, you're living a plastic existence, no fulfillment, no drive towards God. Well, you need to change your fellowship. You need to have a group. You need to have people in your life. You need to be listening to things which have a godly perspective. Walk with the wise. I want to fear the Lord. Well, here's some great examples. Let me finish today as we move towards the altar time. Coming back now. Now, of course, the message is for moms and then for all of us, but I want to hone back in on mothers for just a moment. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands tears it down. Now, here's a very specialized message for mothers, grandmothers, mothers-to-be. You are either going to be contributing towards building your house up, solidifying, strengthening. You're going to be blessing your husband, blessing your children. You're either going to be contributing towards the increase of your household, or you're tearing it down. There's no neutrality in this issue. Moms have a very special place. They have that very first season with those children, a season that is essential, that is a predictor of the children's future. And they also, now you moms, wives, some of you might be single moms right now, and God will give you extra grace. But you wives, you have something special to give to your husbands. There's a part of your husband that needs a contribution, that needs what you have to offer, needs encouragement. If you're just tearing them down, or if by your neglect and your laziness, you're leaving the lion's share of responsibilities to him, you're not building your house, you're actually tearing that house down. But God's being gracious today. God's giving you both a message of encouragement and of warning. He's saying to you that it's not too late to change course. It's not too, now if you've been doing good and you bear witness of this, you're in accord with it, wonderful. But if you're not in line with what God is sharing with you today, good news. You can repent. You can say, Lord, help me. I receive that wisdom. I want to be a wise person. Help me to fear you, Lord. Help me to hear the word while I can. Help me to walk with wise people so that I can be this wisest. Someone say wisest. Look at this verse here. The wisest of women builds her house, but folly with her own hands. If she's not the first, she's like actively tearing it down. You say, oh, I would never even consider such a thing. I've never consciously thought of, I'm going to destroy this family. I'm going to tear down my husband. I'm going to cause dysfunction. Of course no one thinks that. It's just the opposite of building. It just happens. Just like things fall apart left to themselves, they don't improve themselves unless labor comes in to help. So also with your household, just like your own life, if you're not building yourself up in the faith, if you're not receiving from God, there's a tearing down. There's a collapsing that's occurring. And so I would just encourage you today, lay a hold of what the Lord's saying. Take this for yourself. Be a wise person. Wisdom is calling out. Will you answer wisdom's call? That is the question. So why don't we stand together? I told you I was going to be efficient. Might have moved a little fast. You could always get CDs or listen to it again online. Perhaps it might be a nice Mother's Day gift for someone out there. Send them the message where he talked about lopping the guy's head off, throwing over the wall. You go, where's that church? Okay. Praise God. God's good, and he's wanting. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. And so if we could just close our eyes for just a moment. You're here today, and as I said earlier, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, torment your destiny. The good news, though, is that Jesus endured some torment so that all those who believe in him will be saved and delivered. His love is so great that he came and endured harsh suffering for me and for you. There's no one right with God, not even one. So God had to come himself to live righteously as a man so that we could be acceptable. If you're here today, you're not sure. Now, no one's looking around but me, so don't worry. You're not sure that you're right with Jesus Christ. You'd say, Pastor, would you please remember me in prayer? After the service today, I'm going to remember you in prayer. Would you raise your hand today so I can know who to pray for? Just between you and I and the Lord right now. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Anybody else today? You can put your hand down. Anybody else today, you say, Pastor, please pray for me. Remember me in prayer. If you will call upon the name of Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you are relying on your own goodness, you are in big trouble. Jesus is here for you today. If you'd like me to pray for you, just raise your hand. I'm going to transition here. Moms, if you would like some special prayer today, moms, grandmothers, wherever you're at, you know, I don't know where you're at. You might be on the regret side of this message. You might be more on, you know, I do align with that, but I could take that warning. Wherever you might be, why don't you moms and grandmas just come down here today so I could pray a special prayer of blessing upon you. You are very important. I thank God for my mom. My mom actually is like this unnamed heroine of Abel of Bethmaka. My mom actually is praiseworthy. She stood the test of time. And I do definitely hold her in high regard as a mom. Now she's a grandmother, and she's a blessing in that capacity too. I want to pray over you today because that's for all of us. That's not just for a special group. That's not for those that made the least mistakes. My mom has regrets. I'm a father. I already have regrets. My kids aren't even out of the house yet. So none of us are perfect. But with God's help and grace, with God's Spirit, we can start today afresh and cling to Lady Wisdom. I want all you have to offer. That is clinging to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me pray today for you special ladies. Lord, I just, by your authority, by your Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would speak peace to every heart that has come up here today. These moms and grandmothers, they're at different places. But Lord, some things are the same. I pray that you would speak to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to cry out for you, to receive your wisdom in daily doses. Give them day by day your bread, O Lord. And I pray for those that may weigh a little heavy with regret. Lord, that you would lighten that load, that Lord, they're not the ultimate responsible party. Everybody makes choices. And that today, Lord, if there's repentance to be had, that would happen. That they would repent, Lord, of any lack, and knowing that you forgive and that you cleanse and that you make all things new. So speak, Lord, to each of these moms. Bless them and keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them, Lord. May they be the head and not the tail. May they, Lord, be like this woman that did the right things early on. She could rise up in the challenge. She could speak to the darkness, and victory occurred. Deliverance came forth. Help each of these, Lord God, to be a blessing in their day. And Lord, may their children rise up to call them blessed. May their husband, if they're married, Lord, may their husband sing their praises. Thank you for these precious mothers and grandmothers. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. I want to pray for all of you, too. So just hold on a second. If we could just keep our attention for a moment. If you are saying, I want to embrace wisdom, just raise your hands to the Lord where you're at. I want to embrace wisdom. Lord, help us all to embrace your wisdom, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be wise and to discern the day we're in. Help us to not be rushing into things or letting anger control us or any of the other many examples. But may we increase in you, O Lord, and be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. May our wisdom not turn into puffing up or arrogance, But may we always give credit to you, the great source of wisdom, Jesus Christ. Amen. Godspeed. Have a great day.